بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد. وعن عمرو بن الحارث أخي جبيرية بنت الحارث أم المؤمنين رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: ما ترك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عند موته دينارا ولا درهما ولا عبدا ولا أمة ولا شيئا إلا بغلته البيضاء التي كان يركبها وسلاحه وأرضا جعلها لابن السبيل صدقة. رواه البخاري. Amr bin Harith, the brother of Juwayriya bint al-Harith, Ummul Mu'mineen, one of the mothers of the believers, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of his demise did not leave behind a single dinar or dirham, nor a male or a female slave, nor anything except his white mule which he would ride, and his weaponry, and a piece of land that he had left behind as sadaqah, as charity for the travelers. This hadith, we began the discussion yesterday, the latter part of the hadith, the piece of land which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left behind, the land referred to here is the land of Fadak or Khaybar, or a portion of land that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the expedition of Banu Nazir. If you look at whatever land Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed or owned, one was the portion of land that was given after the expedition of Banu Nazir. This latter portion of land was obtained after Uhud and was distributed during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With regards to the land of Fadak, which is referred to in this hadith, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam made that piece of land waqaf for the travelers. In other words, the musafireen that are in need, they would utilize this land. The third land which ulama ikram or muarikhin mention about is that share which was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the expedition of Khaybar. This piece of land was divided into three parts. 2/3 was given during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the believers, in other words, handed over to the ummah and distributed amongst them. And 1/3 was kept behind for the benefit of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With regards to whatever wealth was given to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his lifetime, that we already discussed in great detail, that they would be given an allowance in advance, but they would be encouraged to spend this and to make ithar, to give preference to those in need over themselves, and more often than not, very, very quickly, whatever little they had would be utilized. And they also would be in great poverty and hardship, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next narration, وعن خباب بن أرت رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: هاجرنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نلتمس وجه الله تعالى فوقع أجرنا على الله فمنا من مات ولم يأكل من أجره شيئا منهم مصعب بن عمير رضي الله تعالى عنه قتل يوم أحد وترك نمرا فكنا إذا غطينا به رأسه بدت رجلاه وإذا غطينا به رجليه بدا رأسه فأمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نغطي رأسه ونجعل على رجليه شيئا من الإذخر ومنا من أينعت له ثمرته فهو يهدبنا. متفق عليه. خباب بن أرت is a Sahabi. We know accepted Islam in the early days, and the extent to which he was persecuted and tortured for the sake of being a Muslim, the incidents are quite famous. He would be made to lie on burning coals so that the fat that was coming out of his body would be used to put out the fire. In fact, many, many years later, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he saw the state of the back of Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the emaciated flesh of his back, he was greatly surprised and he questioned him about this. And Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu ta'ala anhu described to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu the manner in which he was tortured in the way of Islam in the early days. He narrates this hadith and he says, "Hajarna ma Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." We made hijrat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hijrat referring to the journey from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. What we should bear in mind is that this expression should not be taken literally, that we made hijrat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam technically with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Amir bin Fuhaira, and Abdullah bin Uraiqit, who had not accepted Islam and had been taken along as a guide by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So those who accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were just these few. Hajarna ma Rasulullah, we made hijrat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, means that on the instruction, on the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at about the time that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself made hijrat. Not that they physically were together on the journey of hijrat. He says, we made hijrat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeking thereby the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is probably an inference to the importance of ikhlas and niyyah, having sincerity of one's intention, particularly when it comes to striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or doing any great acts of deen. It's very, very important that we have as our intention solely the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the famous hadith on ikhlas, which most of the major books of ahadith begin with, the hadith of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu with regards to ikhlas al-niyya, that whatever we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge it according to the intention. Innamal a'malu bin niyyat wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa. Whatever you intend, that is what Allah will give you. And particularly hijrat is mentioned in that hadith. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. That famous hadith on ikhlas al-niyyah. Of all the great acts of deen and Islam, particularly this amal of hijrat is singled out. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. That person who makes hijrat for the sake of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, primarily, then only will his hijrat be for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, if his hijrat is for dunya or for a woman in order to marry her, then whatever other intention he had, his hijrat will be set aside for that and he will not be granted the reward of hijrat for the sake of Allah. So this is why Khabbab bin Arad radiallahu anhu particularly emphasizes, نَلْتَمِسُ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. We made hijrat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeking thereby the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَوَقَعَ أَجْرُهُنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ. So our reward was established with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he goes on to say, amongst us, those sahaba who made hijrat, there were those who passed away and they did not derive any return, any recompense, any reward whatsoever in this world. Amongst them was Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Particular mention is made of Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, again a sahabi whose qurbani, whose sacrifice is well known. As a young man he accepted Islam. He was greatly beloved by his parents. They would dote on him. Mus'ab bin Umair was known as one of the wealthiest youth of Makkah. When he would walk into the marketplace, sometimes one set of clothing would be 200, 300 dinars. And people would greatly admire the lavish and the posh life that Mus'ab bin Umair was living. When Mus'ab bin Umair accepted Islam, then his parents turned against him, they persecuted him, they tortured him, and whatever wealth was being spent on him, that obviously was cut off. So he started living a life of great austerity and great poverty and great hardship. He was amongst those Sahaba that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent to Madinah Munawwara after Bay'ah Aqabatil Ula. This refers to the first Bay'at that was taken when that first group of six, according to riwayats, vary as to how many it was, but generally the more accepted opinion was that late one night in Mina, where very close to where the big Jamara is located, Jamarat al-Uqba, on the side, there is a little dip or a valley. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came across six youngsters from Yathrib, from Medina Munawwara. Abdullah bin Rawaha, Abul Haytham bin Tayhan, Ubadah bin Samit, Saad bin Rabi, Asad bin Zurara and Haritha bin Nu'man radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. A conversation transpired. They whispered amongst themselves when they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he introduced himself as the Nabi of Allah. We find that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, on one journey from Fuhaj, as he was returning, he passed by the place of Yathrib, which later came to be known as Medina Munawwara. And he told his companions that this will be the place of the hijrat or the migration of the last Nabi which is to come. So from the companions of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, a few of them opted to settle in this area in anticipation of the coming of the final Prophet, in the hope and expectation that the final Nabi of Allah Ta'ala will be from amongst their progeny. The Banu Qaynuqa, the Banu Nadir, these were different tribes, and obviously the third tribe was the Khaybar. They settled very close to each other, Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nazir and Khaybar. This was in the precincts of Medina Munawwara. And the expectation was that from our progeny, from amongst the Jews, the final Prophet will come. So as the time came closer and closer, based on the scriptures that were revealed to them, the signs of the coming of that Prophet were becoming more and more evident. So what happened is that this hype had increased in Medina Munawwara. And they would in fact taunt the Aus and the Khazraj, that is the Ansar of Medina, those who were living there, they would taunt them that, listen, the time is coming. The final Prophet is going to be from amongst us. And once he comes, we will rule over you and we will do this and we will do that, etc. So this taunting used to take place. So these six young men, later they become Sahaba, they had heard this taunting, and they also, because of their interaction with the Jews of Medina Munawwara, they also were in anticipation and expectation of the coming of the final Prophet. So late that night in Mina, when they are approached by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first they are surprised. The person that is claiming to be a prophet is not a Jew, he's from amongst the Arabs, he's from amongst us. So this intrigued them particularly. And they said, what have we to lose? Why don't we listen to his message? It's possible that the Jews made a mistake. The final Prophet is to be from amongst the Arabs. So they entertained Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the last two rukus of Surah Ibrahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامَ رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Till the last verse of Surah Ibrahim. هَذَا بَلَاغٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيُنذَرُوا بِهِ وَلِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَلِيَذَّكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ.